Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us in this beautiful 2 hours, the fastest 2 hours of every day. It is Saturday night, and it is today, April the 10th, 2021. That is the year of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is Usama Dakdak with you from the state of Missouri, working so hard to build my brand new studio. Actually, it's not brand new. It's an old building, but I'm remodeling it. But I found out when you remodel an old building and you do not know what's in it, you might as well just start a new building. It'll be much faster and much cheaper. Because guess what? There is termite, and where is termite? There is trouble. But anyway, it's going to be fun. And with us tonight, as usual, as she's laughing, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. This is the one and only producer, the best one. Hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, I'm the best one named Christy Johnson. That is for sure.
I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. Allah is my witness, and I don't swear by Allah except when I'm lying. So what's going on, Christy?
Well, it's a wonderful evening. I'm thanking the Lord. We had some really severe weather that hit our friends in Louisiana. Some tornadoes went through. We had terrible lightning, wind, and many other things. But here for me in Mississippi, it only lasted a very short time, and we didn't get hit by any severe wind, just some hail and some lightning. But, well, you know, we pray for people that go through these weather, you know, disasters, because they can hit you real hard, and you don't expect it with a tornado.
Well, so. Believe it or not, Christy, yesterday we lost electricity for almost like 3 hours or so. It was so windy. I thought we're going to have tornadoes here, but thank God there was no tornado. Of course, we don't get hurricane in Missouri, but we get tornado, which is bad. Anyway, we have lots of rain. It was very windy, and today it's kind of a little bit cooler. But, hey, God is good. We are in the show me state. We're in the middle here. So far, so good.
Well, I'm thanking the Lord for taking care of many of our family and friends that are spread across the country. But, you know, other problems are happening. Not just weather. We have evil stuff going on everywhere. We got problems,
Christy,
in America.
You have to understand, we have Joe Biden in the White House. Everything will be fine. Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. It's going to be just fine. That's if he's still there. I don't know where he's living right now. Who knows?
Well,
what's going on, Christy? Tell me what's going on.
If I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be afraid. But, you know, we have wisdom we can get from the Bible. And the Bible does tell us there will be difficult times in the end, but not for us to get discouraged and not for us to give up. You know, Usama, I'll ask you your thought about this. We're going to talk about a couple of stories that are going on, problems that are occurring not only for the church, but within the church. So we're seeing some very unusual stories happening. And we've had a couple of people, and I see different posts and different individuals who don't believe that as a Christian, you need to concern yourself about anything political. But the sad thing is that we are to be the salt and light of the earth. We are supposed to call out evil when we see it. We're supposed to stand up against it. And if you don't understand that, right, you don't understand what's happened all over the world to Christians for 1,000 years, 1,600 years, maybe longer than that. Christians,
yes, ma'am,
since the day of the apostles' ministry suffered persecution, and many times it was at the hand of the government. Many times it was at the hand of other religious groups. But this has gone on throughout history. Why do we think we don't need to get concerned when we see things happening that are damaging our country? I don't understand that viewpoint.
It is true. I have a friend of mine here is helping me to work on my new studio. And he's from North Carolina. And on his truck, he has beautiful signs, wonderful pictures speak about the true nature of America, where we are today. You see babies cut into pieces, of course, abortion. He also ministers. He's a street ministry, so he speaks against gay and lesbians. He asks people in America to repent. But he has in the front of his truck, a guy looking real funny. I wish I can have figured. You know what? I should take some pictures of his truck, and maybe we can put it on our program next week.
Sure.
And one of the signs said, those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyranny. And I could not believe it. This is exactly what we are in America. We don't want God. Why do we need God? We need something else. Well, guess what? We're going to get what we deserve. Tyranny. Tyranny coming to a city near you. Yes, ma'am.
You know, Usama, my daughter said something that I thought was really wise. And now I can't remember what it was. My daughter says a lot of wise things. But anyway, if you are in a place where you don't think you need God, you think of this, climate change, the environment, man has to control this. And you know what? It causes you to think that you are God. You're putting yourself in a position to be God. Men and women are probably in the wrong bodies. Men are probably in women's bodies, and women are in men's bodies, because God doesn't know what he's doing.
You know what's amazing? This is exactly me and my brother Alan were talking about. We live in America where men want to be women and women want to be men. Literally, he says this just yesterday in this room where I'm sitting right now. It's like, I wish Alan is here right now so he can share with you a little bit about what else he thinks about what's going on in America. But it's terrible. We're doing everything backwards.
But you know what it is when you don't retain God in your conscience, when you put him out, then you have to be God. And in being God demands a great deal of wisdom, and there are so many problems to fix. If there's no God, you have to fix everything. But really, ultimately, that's what my daughter was saying. She said, ultimately, this comes down to men believing they are gods themselves. And you know what? I guess if you're the God, you have all these problems to fix. It must be really exhausting trying to figure it all out.
You know what, Christine? You know what's amazing in the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Bible and in the words of the Holy Spirit, which is written by many of those who wrote to us this wonderful book, which is called the Bible. We know that we should not worry about tomorrow. He said, why? He said, because you can change one hair on your head from black to white or from white to black. We have zero power. We have zero control of what's happening right now. And these people think they're going to fix the world. They're going to fix the sun and the moon and the star and the wind. They're globalists. They know exactly how to save planet Earth or Mother Earth. And they cannot, let me say it again, they cannot change a thing. They can, I mean, you literally can make everybody drive in a car, electronic car now, with electricity. No more gas. We'll get rid of all the oil and planet Earth. And guess what? Next week, it could be the temperature go 120, 130, and gas can start fire everywhere, even if though there's not 1 gallon of gas is burned somewhere. So is the temperature, is the global problem we have, is because of the car we drive, or because God is in control? And can we really change the weather? Can we make the temperature go up or down a half a degree? Can we do that?
Well, apparently it dropped considerably last year. So their whole theory about this stuff is flawed because they don't have wisdom. They don't accept the wisdom of God. But you know what's sad is I feel sorry for people who find themselves without any hope except in their self. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk on the TV stations that I watch, which I love now, OAN, Newsmax, and Real America's Voice. People, if you're still watching regular news, you need to think about getting a Roku and get these other channels. But the truth is that when you hear people talking and they have no hope, can you imagine all the problems they need to solve? It's like you don't know if a child born is a male or a female because you've decided that it is a matter of their decision. So what can you count on in terms of how the world works? Basically nothing. Everything has to be reinvented in your mind. And I feel bad for children and adults who are being fed this kind of thinking. They're calling it, on these TV stations, they're calling it scientism. It's a religion. Yeah. Scientism.
Science. That reminds me, of Islamism. You remember Islamistic Islamism?
Everything.
Scientism? What is Scientism?
Scientism. Oh, yeah, and they'll talk about it being science, and it's not science. You know, if you're as old as I am, you realize how many things scientists have said that they had to reverse themselves on. You know? They think they're, like, so brilliant that they know everything. I'm telling you, if they knew everything, how come the science keeps evolving? How come things keep changing? How come their solutions keep changing? How come their assessment of the problem? Do you remember when scientists thought that when the year 2000 hit, that it was going to be a huge catastrophe?
Do you remember that? People were panicking, like, I don't know, the whole world is over, but nothing happened.
Yes, and then do you remember when we had the big ozone, the hole in the ozone? The ozone layer had a big hole in it, and it was going to cause catastrophe.
Yeah, but somebody fixed the hole. I don't know.
I know.
I think it was somebody fixed the hole. I don't know who, but is the hole fixed?
It was God.
Okay. it was God. Wait a minute. How do you know? Yeah. But wait. How did they know that there is a problem in the ozone and there is a hole in the ozone? I mean, how do you know that?
Well, some scientist told them that. And so the whole point is that once you have had a little bit of experience and a few years, you realize all these things have come and gone, and they were theories that never panned out. So now we got a theory, and we're going to cover just a couple things, but this theory that babies are born and they're not really a sex, they have to figure that out. You know, am I a male or a female? But, you know, now they want, and with our new head of our health department of health and human services, I think that's the one, the man that's a woman now, Dr. Din or something. Anyway, he, she, whatever, it's a she now. She wants children.
Wait, it was a he and she became a she?
You did not know this, Usama? This is who Biden appointed to head up Health and Human Services.
Okay. So is it, no, is it a he or a she?
It was a man, became a woman.
So it is it, because he cannot have a baby. Can he have a baby?
Well, Usama, I want to get to the point. This is a person. No, I know you're laughing. But if you have a
silly, but I'll apologize. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you have a child in school, this is where they're pushing this, that people in the school system can decide that your child has gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria, and that means because they have gender dysphoria that you as a parent must allow them to receive treatment to change their gender.
Okay.
Children somewhere around the age of 8 or 10 years old, they want to start changing the gender of these children. And that's the position of this person that Joe Biden put on his cabinet as a head of a department that has a lot of influence on this. So here's the thing, and I heard a very wise discussion about this from Jenna Ellis. And she said she was an attorney that represented the Trump's case against the election fraud, but she's a strong Christian woman. Again, she's got a program called Just the Truth on America's Voice and Real America's Voice. It's sometimes listed as America's Voice News. But anyway, she was talking, and I thought what she said was amazing. She said, they're trying to tell you that children without parents can decide that they want to be a different sex. She said, you know where this is leading? She said, this is leading to them coming up and saying, well, children can determine the sex they want to be. Children can decide to engage in sex with adults. And I believe her. That is where this is going.
Allah Akbar. Now
yes,
this is a real business. Now we're getting some real business.
That's where it's going. If you can decide
this
to change
your... Wait. Do you think this will help the Muslim to practice Sharia in America, where a man in his 40s or his 50s can be married to an 8-9 years old child?
That is absolutely where this can go now.
We're getting closer, Christy. We're getting closer, a step closer. By the way, Muslim will demand to have their 4 wives at the time. Why? Because now, think about it. Biblically and socially, and by the way of American life, it was always one man and one woman. That's why Mormons have a hard time to have, openly, to have polygamism, okay? Now, since we have gay can be married legally in many states, and lesbian can be married legally in a state, 2 girls and 2 guys can get married, why can't Muslims come to us and say, hey, I'm a Muslim believer. I believe in Allah. I believe in Muhammad and in our Sunnah, in the Sunnah of Muhammad, the way how we Muslim live. We can have 4 wives, and the little children, which you call the children 8 or 9, is a perfect age for marriage. So Muslims can have 4 wives. So instead of they wait 20 years to take over America, they can do it in 5 years. How do you like that?
I'm so disturbed about this, Usama, because you're exactly right. Not only that, we have a horrendous problem with pedophilia and bringing that to the border. We are having children molested when they are in the custody of these illegal traffickers who are drug cartel people and human traffickers who are taking people across the border. And they're saying, they were saying like, 3 out of 4 women have, and young girls have been sexually assaulted on these trips. Now they're saying even the boys are also being sodomized.
This is
horrendous that we are allowing this border catastrophe to go on. And I was really... I just was really touched.
That's why Mr. Biden and Sister Kamala Harris, maybe that's why they're doing compassionate, bring more children. Perhaps this pedophilia and these wicked men can do some business with them in these 2 months. So the more we bring babies here, the more we're going to have these sick men. And the more we bring even women, the more these sick men, because I guarantee women will be raped, little boys and little girls will be sexually assaulted, and every garbage will happen to them. But don't worry, you know what? Maybe Kamala Harris have a plan to open like some kind of special treatment for all the people who come from South America, to psychologically we can fix them to get over this terrible experience, and then we can bring their family and they'll have reunion and everybody will be happy. How do you like that?
You know, Usama, they may have this dream, but let me tell you something. I worked for social service and I worked for DHS for a number of years, and I was always involved in social services with low-income communities, basically people who were struggling with different kinds of problems, running into child abuse cases, child neglect cases, and I'm telling you, when you have a child that has to be taken into custody by a state, it is really hard to find an appropriate home to place that child, because to be a foster parent, you're supposed to be approved by the state. But when they start having so many kids that don't have parents, where are they going to put these children? I'll tell you where they're going to end up. They're going to end up in places, which this was notoriously happening in the foster care system in America before. You would have people getting a foster child. They get a paycheck for having the child. And then they would treat that child like a slave. They would abuse children. So they had to start scrutinizing these foster families more closely. I know, because I had to report on some cases that were really bad. And so here you are trying to get better foster families, train them better, scrutinize them better, which means, you know what? There are fewer foster families than there are for children that need homes. Now what? You know, they're saying 20,000 unaccompanied children have already come into the United States since Biden came
plus
in. And that's how many are in custody.
Chrissy, these a few more hundred thousand coming down. The whole world is going to bring the children. I mean, the war, not just the South American. I guarantee you, it starts with South America, and I guarantee
they're
you know
everywhere.
What, Chrissy, let me confess something to you, and I hate to say that. I got people in Egypt.
Yes.
I mean, they know me from other people, you know. They're willing to send the children to me if I can find them some help.
If
I can find them some work, if I can find them some homes. Parents in Egypt who love the children, they're not getting rid of the children. They believe that America have a better place, is a better place to live, which is true. America is the best place in the world. Even though liberals are going to make it the worst place in the world. But can you imagine, people in Egypt are willing to send their children. They think that I can take care of them and I can find homes for them. So if the Christians of Egypt, who are wonderful people, who are literally looking for the future of the children, want the children to come to America and have a better life, don't you think the rest of the world will send their children, even if they get molested, even if they get raped by some guys from Mexico to here for a few days?
Well, you know, Usama, that is possibly true for many people. However, we also don't know how many of these kids have been picked up and kidnapped off the streets in these South American cities. Because usually children, children would be in school. But now with the pandemic, a lot of kids aren't even out of school. You see that here in the United States. Sometimes they're out playing, whatever. And you don't know, parents who have lost their children may be looking for a child, and that child may have been picked up and used to get this adult that they don't know across the border. So that kind of brings me to this story, and I put it in. I hope people watch the slideshow, because I try to put some things in the slideshow to just kind of, you know, trigger your thought process. There's a picture of a small child who has been dropped off and just abandoned at the border.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really pitiful because this child doesn't speak English. And if you've seen the video, I hope people will watch the video, but it made me cry. It is so sad.
It was sad. I saw it 2 days ago. It was sad. I got sick in my stomach. I physically got sick in my stomach. Can you imagine that's your child or your grandchild?
Yeah. If this child, fortunately, and the reason I want to play this is you hear the compassion of this Border Patrol officer who finds his child wandering around down a road. He has nothing with him. He does have a coat on, a hood over his head. It's raining. It's foggy.
Yeah.
If you haven't been to the southwest of the United States of America, for people that haven't been there, it is desolate. I mean, there are snakes. There's no water. There's no food. You're just out there with some snakes.
Even Christy, forget about the physical, hurt could happen to the child. How about psychologically? Can you imagine being in that age and being by yourself in nowhere?
But that's the point, Usama. You look around. When you see where this officer picked this kid up, there is nothing anywhere. It would be terrifying for an adult. Seriously,
sure.
I've been, through a lot of territory, and I'll tell you, sometimes when you're driving down the road, even in the United States, you're looking around and going, oh, dear God, please don't let my car break down. There's nobody around here.
It's
like
true.
That.
It's true.
Desolate. And an adult would be scared. But the good news is this little boy got picked up. I couldn't stand to even hear this child, and because I know a little bit of Spanish, I know he's asking for help. The Border Patrol sees him from a long ways off and stops when he gets up there, and the little boy is saying, can you help me? Can you help me? And it's just pitiful. And the officer talks with him. You'll hear him ask if the boy knows where his mama, papa, are. Are they with him? And the kid is just, it's pitiful.
It was terrifying. It's sad.
Yeah. But people need to know this is going on because this is your loving, wonderful, compassionate liberals and their attitude about the border. But this kid got picked up. How many others? There was a two-year-old and a five-year-old dropped off the fence last week. And now how many other kids are going through this? Anyway, I'm going to play this. You'll hear first just the end of the car driving up, and then he drives up to where the boy is. He sees him from a long ways off. He has to drive down the road to get up to where the kid is.
Sure.
So here we go.
Huh?
¿Qué pasó?
Es que yo venía con un grupo de personas y me dejaron botarlo de donde están. ¿No sabes dónde está? ¿Te dejaron solo?
Pues claro, me dejaron botado.
¿Te dejaron solo botado?
Solo.
¿No vienes con mami o con papi o con alguien?
¿Ah?
¿Vienes con tu mamá o tu papá?
Nadie. Yo venía en un grupo que venía de entrega con usted y al final me dejaron botado y venía aquí a pedir auxilio.
¿Te dejaron botado y te dijeron que vinieras a pedir auxilio?
No, yo vengo porque si no, ¿por dónde me voy a ir? Ahí voy a dejar y también me pueden robar, secuestrar o algo.
¿Te pueden
robar?
¿Tienes miedo?
Okay.
Ahorita hablamos, ¿ok?
Yeah, he asked him if he's with his mom or papa. Are they with him? And then he says, your mom and papa, it's like he doesn't have a clue where they are. And then he tells the boy, come on and get in the truck with me. And but can you imagine? Who else could have come by there? What would have happened? This kid just walking down the road. Can you help me? I mean, it's heartbreaking. And we don't know how many kids this has happened to, because once they use them and don't need them anymore, or let's suppose they had this child so they could approach the border, and now what they're really trying to do is get some drugs across. So they don't need this kid now. They don't need him.
Sure.
So
what do you need him for?
They just leave him. We don't need him now. He's no good to us. We've got plenty of children. We don't need this boy. We're done with him. Maybe this kid was sick. You don't know. Why did they abandon him? But it's just, I'm sorry, if you're a Christian and you don't care about the politics of what's going on right now, you don't have a heart. And I'm telling you, these Democrat liberals have no heart. They don't care if babies are ripped to pieces in the womb. They do not care about these children. And they do not care about the parents or the families that they claim they're trying to provide help for. It's nothing but a demonic, evil lie.
Exactly. Exactly. Sadly. God help us.
And that boy was 10, and he's from Nicaragua. So
10 years old.
You know that.
You know, I believe that boy is gonna grow up with sickness. I mean, what do you call this? Psychological problems. I don't think
emotional
this boy will never be normal again.
That's
the word I'm trying to use.
God can help him. I always believe that. I've dealt with abused children, but that is the only way this kid will be whole. That is the only way, because this kid needs the Lord to help him. And they've already saying, people don't know where these boys' parents are. That's why I said, you don't know if he was kidnapped off the street in Nicaragua. Or maybe, like you said, his parents sent him. But he didn't say his parents sent him. The man asked where his parents were. He doesn't know. If his parents sent him, he'd say, they're in Nicaragua. And I would have understood that in Spanish. Maybe someone that speaks Spanish can be more, give a better interpretation. But you didn't need much of an interpretation to understand the tragedy of this child.
That's,
and this is Biden's open border. Makes me sick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you ready to go to something where somebody's standing up for something now?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
it is terrible, and I don't think the liberals can see it as a problem. You know, you look at it, you see this. You created the problem. You look at it. Oh, they're creating solution for the kids' problem. I don't think the Democrats see anything wrong with happening on the border. They think it is the best thing you can do. Just open the border, bring the whole world to America.
Well, if some Democrat really truly believes that, I'd like them to get down there and talk to some of these children and see what's going on.
Chrissy,
and they won't go down there. They won't go.
Okay. We know for sure that they were calling evil good and good evil. That's exactly what they're doing. They calling that good, which you and I seem to be nothing but evil, abuse. God help us.
That's right. Anyway. So now with a warning to what's going on in these Christian churches. By the way, they're calling on Christian church organizations, nonprofit organizations, to take these children in. And they don't have the capacity to deal with the number of kids. We know, like I said, 20,000 since January of minors that they have in custody. We don't know how many others they don't have in custody, but the truth is they don't have the ability to manage this many children.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if, I mean, I raised kids. I'm telling you what, four is a lot. They're trying to manage these children. These children who are abandoned or alone, they call them unaccompanied. These kids need emotional support and help. And they don't have any. I mean, give me a break. How much help are they getting? It's just crazy. So anyway.
I don't know. I do not believe a child can be in a good place except with his father and his mother. Believe it or not, divorced parents, they don't suffer. The one who suffer are the children in the divorced family. So you cannot tell me that we can fix that problem unless we bring their moms and dad to America. And we're going to bring their sisters and their brothers, and they're going to bring their cousins. We're going to bring the world to America.
Well, you know, Usama, that is the sad thing that we were talking about. Well, you know, maybe some of these children need to have their sex changed from male to female. Maybe that's their problem. It's
okay,
just
absolutely
ridiculous. So anyway, we have a story where a pastor in Alberta, Canada, was actually arrested and spent a month in jail. So
yeah,
he has been released. This story is from April the 8th. And so what they did, and this was posted on tweet, but also they had pictures and a news story. Police and security are putting up a fence around the Grace Life. That's the Grace Life Church. Please pray
amen
for wisdom as, as our elders navigate this new development. Usama, they stuck a fence up around this church, just like they did to the U.S. Capitol, so that you can't get in there. This is after they had the pastor in jail for a month. And what for? For holding services in this church.
You know what? Let me see if I can open a bar close to the church to see if they're going to close my bar.
Well,
who knows? Who knows?
Pictures up. And this pastor is still facing many fines. And this church, many fines for having the nerve to conduct church services. So I thought this next piece would be good to take a listen to, because the pastor also in Canada here is experiencing the police coming into his congregation, and he responds, and it's very interesting. This pastor is from Poland. This is also in Canada, and this happened on what would have been Passover, and also I think it fell same time as Good Friday. So they were having church services, and the police came in and told them they could not have this service, that it was illegal. So here is his response.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out.
Okay.
Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. Out! 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 Out of this property! Immediately out! Immediately go out and don't come back. I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this property. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out! Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out. Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go. So go. Go. And don't come back without a warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out. And don't come back without a warrant. Do not come back without a warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communist, fascist. Don't you dare coming back here. Can you imagine those psychopaths? Passover, the holiest Christian festival in a year, and they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable. What is wrong with those sick psychopaths? It's beyond me.
It reminds me of you, Yusama, actually.
That's exactly what my mama used to do. When people come to our home, especially our church in Egypt, especially the Muslims ones are, you know, the demon-possessed ones, and my mama say, out of it, in Jesus' name, out! In Jesus' name, and demons, and really, demons leave the body, exactly.
You know what? That was brought up by another program I watch on Real America's Voice. And Lance Wallnau was discussing this, and he said, there you go. That was an exorcism. Casting the demons out. I'm telling you, he is angry. Coming from Poland, he knows communism. He knows what the Nazis did. He understands what this is. And you know, many of our friends, and you, Sama, you and I have a friend from Germany, and she has talked many times about how the things Obama was doing was leading to a rise of the brown shirts, this Gestapo police that would do things to intimidate and to arrest people for nothing. I think he's familiar with this too. And it tells you that Canada is in a lot of trouble.
Christy, this is the early stages. This is the early days for what is coming to the church in America. And I don't think the Christian of America realize what's coming. I really don't think so. When I see them closing the church and forcing people to wear masks over coronavirus, which is no different than any COVID, because the number of people who died, I know they put them in the hundreds of thousands, are less than those who died the year before. So once again, I don't believe coronavirus is what they made it to be. They just won a great victory for the White House. And the better victory they won is how the church was reacting to it, how the conservatives were reacting. We all obeyed. We all wear the mask. We all did not go to church. We all did not do whatever they asked us to do. That's exactly what we did. And that's the greatest victory the liberals have in America. They know. And they're going to close the churches, one church at a time. And they're going to close and they're going to do all the dirt work. And nobody's going to stop them. Nobody's going to stop them. That man destroyed their victory. It's a victory of the government of the liberals. Over the church is gone by that one preacher. Out.
Well, you know, we have to have our younger people educated. Remember, Yusama, when we were talking about this in 2014, how they were removing all references to the Holocaust out of the textbooks for children. So they're not learning anything about what happened in Germany. They're not learning anything about what happened with the communists.
Yeah.
So now, when all this is happening, even these police officers are of an age that very well couldn't even understand what they're doing. We need voices of experience to tell the truth about what this stuff is.
And the preacher calls him what they are, Nazi.
Yes,
psycho. That's what he calls him.
I know. Well, I'll tell you what. So now in America, recent story, this one, there's no video and no audio for this because I didn't want to record what the news stories were, and I couldn't find, listen to this, they didn't have an audio or a video of what the woman said about this. I'll try to find it, but I couldn't find one that was just her talking. She did a couple of interviews, but this is a headline online from the Dallas CBS station in Dallas-Fort Worth. Now we're in America. Dallas Catholic Church calls cops on maskless pregnant mom holding baby during mass. Officers threaten arrest. This happened or was posted in the newspaper March 29th. So she's there for mass. She's pregnant, and she has a two-year-old child. I think the child is two, maybe a little bit under two. I can't remember what age she said the child was. She's holding. Now, if you're pregnant and you're holding a kid, which I've been there, it is a little hard to breathe. And while she had a mask on when she first came in, she sat in the back and she removed the mask because she was having a hard time breathing. She had gone forward to get the wafer or whatever, wine, for the mass, and she was up there. The priest that gave this to her didn't say anything, but when she went back to her seat and she didn't put her mask on, she was sitting in the back, separated from people, they said well distanced from anybody else, another priest comes over and tells her if she doesn't put a mask on, he will throw her out. And as she's resisting, trying to, you know, defend herself, saying something, but she has a wafer in her mouth. And she's praying. And he says, if you don't put your mask on, I'm calling the cops. And he did. The police showed up, threatened her with arrest if she didn't leave. She said, how can you arrest me? This is a church. And they said, this is a business. How do you like that?
Well, maybe it's time for her to find a real church, a church which teach and preach the word of God, a church which is conservative. Because trust me, Christy, 99% of the Democrats are Catholic.
This is true.
They're not Christian.
Well,
if you are a Democrat, you are not a believer. You are not a Christian. You can call yourself Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, but to be a Democrat, that is a great sign that you don't belong to the Lord. End of story.
Well, I don't know that this girl is a Democrat. She is Catholic, but I want to say this. I have a lot of issues with the Catholic Church. I do. And I know a lot of Democrats claim they're Catholic, but they have absolutely no clue even what Catholics believe. So this girl is there. I think the issue is, here's where it starts in America. Get out if you don't have a mask on. Do what the state says. This is a business. It could happen in any church. We already know in Mississippi, when this thing started, there was a pastor who was preaching outside, and the congregation to his church was in the parking lot in their cars. And they came and issued fines, $1,000 apiece, $500,000, $2,000. I can't remember exact amount.
It was 500 off every vehicle.
So
yeah.
Fine for every vehicle that was in that parking lot listening to a pastor preach outside in the front of his church, and they're in the parking lot. So, you see, they're going
that
to do
is,
what they can get away
the
with.
Control, that is the control freak. But once again, if the church will call itself a business, then that church need to be closed, or even the church need to go find a real church.
Well, the church responded. They didn't say they were a business. That's what the police officer said. So they made a response, and they said they're looking into it. It said, we recognize that not everyone can wear masks, but that those who can should. Anyway, this is a stressful situation. They're looking into it.
They
responded
because it was stupid. You know what? If this would happen a year ago, we'd say we do not know too much about the virus. It may be that deadly disease, that deadly virus, which is like a mystery. But now I know for sure. I know for sure. There's nothing about Corona than any other thing. People who died this year with Corona, it was not because of Corona. It was because of heart attack, strokes, cancer, kidney failure, and all the other diseases which people normally die with. And even though this is true that some of them were, of course, have the virus in them when they die. Well, guess what? We got less people died this year than last year. That is a great. If we have the same number of people, I say there's nothing, no big deal about Corona. If we have a few hundred more, a few thousand cases, I don't know. If it is really that bad, we should have at least a good million people extra. No, we don't have that. We don't have that.
Well, I know, and so all of this is being used. The whole thing was used for the election to be altered, and that brings me to another point. There are many now states where they are rechecking their ballots. And I, again, I'll tell you, Mike Lindell has put out some great material. Also, there's been a great report on the election that was put out by Rutgers University. Peter Navarro has put out evidence about all of how the votes don't add up. There's hundreds, actually 66,000 more votes in a state than there are people who are registered to vote. So there's so many problems, and different states are looking into it now. So I just want to mention New Hampshire. They're checking their votes. They found all kinds of problems with their votes in New Hampshire. Michigan, who would think that Michigan now is saying we have to reevaluate and recount our votes. This is happening in many states because it was and is a, okay, if I say it, we might get kicked off the air. You know what it was. So anyway, another, of course.
It's a fraud. It's a
Thank
joke.
You.
It's a joke.
Yeah. So anyway, but because this ability to put out all these mail-in ballots was all based on it's so dangerous for you to go vote. You'll go to a strip club. You can go to buy alcohol. Take it home with you, though. You know, buy alcohol and drink at home. And all of the places that had to operate, these big businesses were open. Yeah, they asked you to put on a mask. But you know what? You can't have a church open. And you can't go vote. And this idea about the Georgia voter law is so ridiculous, USANA. It's ridiculous. There is nothing that you can do in America without some type of an ID. And if you're on welfare, you have to have an ID. And
I thought, Christy, next time I'm going to fly on Delta. I'm going to choose Delta specifically, even though I don't like to fly with them because their flight is expensive. And I will tell the people from the airport all the way to the gate, I don't have an ID and I want to be on that airplane. My name is Osama.
Yeah, why not?
Check me out. Google my name on your phone. Your phone. Google my name. You'll find my picture. I am Osama, and I'm not going to show ID, and I don't have an ID. What's going to happen?
Well, you know,
do you think they're going to let me on their airplane without my picture ID, Christy Johnson?
Of course not. They won't even let you on there without your mask. You have to have your mask on, and you have your picture ID, and you have to take your mask and pull it down so they can see your face. That's what somebody told me when they were just on
the
airline.
Thing, it's silly. The whole thing is a joke. And they're both. You know what? As a black man, I'm myself, okay? I'm not white, Christy. You understand that?
You're not?
I think every time the Democrat, every time the Democrat talk low about my people, the black people, I'm getting sick and tired because we're stupid. We, the black of America,
saying.
Are stupid to allow them to do that to us. Like I could not have an ID, Christy, because I'm black. Are you kidding me?
USANA.
I'm not a slave anymore. I'm a free man. I have more degrees than most white people have. And I think every black, if you don't have a picture ID as a black man, you go ahead. You just go back to Africa. You know what? Go to Africa because you don't need IDs there. But in America, black equals white, and we should be treated equally to white. So why they put race on that except the sick? And black people deserve that.
Usama, I'm telling you, black people are insulted. You hear people talking. They're going, this is ridiculous. They think we're too stupid to get an ID.
Why don't we see more black people stand up and say, enough is enough. We're not garbage. We're not slaves. We're not uneducated. We do have picture ID, and we demand to have a picture ID for voting. Vote two card for every black. If the white don't want to have a vote card, that's fine, but we want to have one.
Usama, I'll tell you what. The number of people surveyed, including minorities, blacks, and Hispanics, they all said they want voter ID. So the problem is they're not getting a chance to get their voices on. That's why I keep emphasizing, go to these other news channels. You're going to see a lot of people who are not white who are saying this is insulting. We want people to have an ID to vote. They don't want these immigrants coming into their community. They're bringing in boys. Oh, if you're under the age of 18. They have a stadium in Dallas where all the unaccompanied minors are boys. And they're around the age 13 to whatever, 17. And they're going, these are the perfect kids to be recruited into gangs. These are the perfect kids that may be in gangs already, and they're not being supervised. So
all of
the people want voter ID. I think it came up to be 73% of all Americans,
not
every color. So we just don't hear that. We're not being told that. A news media and now the internet, you know, because they block so much stuff. They're trying to stop that, too. Anyway, so here we are. We got a problem with voting. And one of the other things that I wanted to mention to you and get your take on is, you okay?
Allergy is so mad. It's killing me. I got three all over my land or my neighbor. And I'm cutting myself off. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I'm what they call muted myself 300 times because I'm coughing so bad. But that's okay.
I hear you. Well, I have, you know, a couple people down here have allergies pretty bad, and so you may want to go get something for it. Anyway, Nation of Islam made an official statement on the U.S. Capitol arrest. And Usama, we don't have time tonight to go through it, but I'm going to send it to you, and I want you to read the baloney that they put out as their official statement about the attack by this Nation of Islam member on the Capitol. You will
Maybe we need to remind ourselves. Okay, but yeah, we can do this next week if you don't mind. But here's the truth.
I'll send it to you.
I would love to see it because I maybe actually use it also for VCY. I maybe go on Crosstalk with Brother Jim and talk about it. But here's the truth. When we deny the reality of what is happening in the world because of Islam itself, because of the teaching of Allah in the Quran, the word of Allah, and the teaching of Muhammad and the Sunnah of Muhammad. If we deny that there is violence in Islam, there is evil in Islam, then we're not doing a Muslim service, a good service. We're doing terrible things to the Americans and to the Muslims. Now, when it comes to the Nation of Islam, until today, the American people do not know that Nation of Islam are cult from within the cult of Islam. A true Muslim believer will never accept Muslim Nation of Islam as Muslims because they're not Muslims. They don't believe in the same God. They don't believe in the same prophet. They don't believe in the same Quran. They don't believe in the same doctrine and belief. And they're more evil because they're built on the hatred towards whites. At least in Islam, it's hatred towards Jews and Christians. But in Nation of Islam, it's hatred towards Jews and Christians and whites. Racism is in the heart of the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, like, several people today said, oh, yeah, you won't hear another word about this guy who killed this Capitol Police officer.
Of course. I talked to all my friends on Friday. I said, trust me, Monday is not going to be there. It's over. If this is not going to help the liberal media and the liberal agenda, it will die. Any story from now on, I don't care how many Muslims kill how many Americans, if it's Nation of Islam or Muslim from the Middle East. I don't care about how many jihadi extremists or whatever you want to call them comes through the border. These things we're not going to talk about. It's not going to be in the front page of any newspaper. It's not going to be on the head any TV station or even radio programs. This is not what they want to cover. That's not what they want to talk about in the story.
Well, again, that's why I think it's important that Christians speak out on these issues. I mean, I believe it is our duty to do that. And remember that many of those in Germany who were in the church became perpetrators of abuse towards the Jewish people. I believe that the Bible warns us in Matthew chapter 25 that there will be those who will turn against other members of the household. Jesus told a parable about that, and he said there will be some of the servants that are evil that will turn against the other servants. And you know, it's interesting that was fulfilled in the Jewish community in Jesus' time.
Sure.
But it's
sure.
Again, mm-hmm. for the end time, because that's what he was talking about. And we're seeing it in the church itself. We see those who will turn against those who are true believers. And we need to be aware of that so that we don't get caught up and help the persecution of Christians around the world by our ignorance and our silence. We have to speak out. Just like that Canadian pastor, I'm telling you, you got to speak up.
Out!
That's right.
I love it.
Anyway.
I love it. That was funny.
I knew you would like that.
You know what? I'm serious. I have not heard my mama now for years. She's in heaven for 13 years. And before that was years, I never saw my mama cast demons. But she would say, in Jesus' name, out of him right now. Out. And the demons get scared. And they get out. I'm not kidding you. They get out screaming. So, hey, this is good. I love it.
There you go.
Go ahead, sister.
Well, I wanted to just share a couple of those stories because that's what's going on in our own country. And if you are a Christian, there is one thing that you must do, and that is share the gospel. And the other thing that mm-hmm. I hope you'll do is pray for the repentance of the nation, for the repentance
Amen.
Of the church, as well as repentance of non-believers. The escalation of Islamic terror is starting already. Story talks about El-Shabaab. And
yes, ma'am.
They're growing more and more brazen. They're attacking and killing more people. They are doing their best to eliminate or...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Or overcome Christian people. It says that there are about 1 million people now facing severe hunger due to the violence in Mozambique. And so, you know,
it's terrible.
We need to pray for
terrible.
Them. Those are members of our family, the family that know Jesus Christ, and we need
But here's the question, Christy. How many churches do you think tomorrow are going to be talking about that? How many churches are going to be standing up in unity to speak for our sisters and our brothers, our family in other countries in the world? Where are the folks who talk about racism in America? Where are the black who can speak aloud for the black Christian family we have in Africa who are hurt by the Muslims and by the persecution and by all the garbage happening around the world. Why we don't talk about that anymore in our churches?
Honestly,
why are we ignoring that?
It's pitiful. It's sad, Usama, because that's the problem. And I'm sad for America because that's how we've fallen. Because we have become arrogant because we haven't been experiencing these things that many other Christians are. And I think that's the reason God's allowing these things to come.
You know what, Christy? We're going to be paying someday. Someday,
yeah.
America is going to harvest what they're doing to the rest of the world. It's just natural. It's normal. You don't have to have a master degree or doctorate degree. When you put a seed, as a farmer, you put a seed of corn in the ground. When it grow up to be a corn tree or corn plant, and then we'll harvest corn. That's exactly. I think the church in America are going to see very hard times. We're going to see a very great persecution. And sadly, nobody will help the church in America because the church in America did not bother to help any other country, any other church in any other country, whatever persecution. I mean, for heaven's sake, the media in America making a big deal about the persecution of the Muslim in China, but the media in America never talked about the persecution of the church in China.
I know. And, you know, the real sad thing is that perhaps many individuals in America knew nothing about these things going on. And I believe that's true. Americans get busy. They got stuff to do. They're not always paying attention to these things. But this is one of the reasons why we talked about, I think we mentioned last week, we have the internet now. We have people in these other countries who are trying to ask for help. You know, and under Obama, you brought up something so important. When there was a revolution to get rid of the Muslim leadership in Iran, there was a revolution during Obama's presidency, and he did nothing. That's what I fear we're going to see happen with Joe Biden as China is threatening Taiwan. China is threatening other people. Do you know China said they're going to put their military in the Gulf of Mexico? That's just right outside my window.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What is Biden going to do? Nothing.
Absolutely he already nothing. Got the payment. They already pay him and his son and his brother and I don't know who else, his friends, who got some money from China. It's over.
I believe that they actually literally not only got the money, but I believe that they helped Biden win the election by interfering in it. And there's a lot of evidence to that. Hopefully that'll come out soon.
Absolutely.
So this is sad. Please, if you're a Christian, don't think you don't need to pray for America and don't think you don't need to pay attention to what's going on politically. And I'm going to make this last point about that. Why do I watch these things so clearly? Jesus said, watch. Watch. What did he want us to watch? He wanted us to watch the fulfillment because he said, because you don't know when the Lord's coming, but you see this tree? When you see the leaves starting to come out, you know that spring is coming. Mm-hmm. You need to know the signs of the times. He didn't say, it doesn't matter. He said, watch. He told us to watch. And, I mean, I've been doing that for, I don't know, most of my life. And, seriously, when Kennedy was killed, you know, and we still don't even know all the truth about how that happened. But, you know, many of the things that we're seeing today were prophesied. And they're prophesied about a nation that has abandoned God. It says a nation that forgets God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But the nation that forgets God will become as hell. We're one of the few nations, literally, that can say we could forget God because he has made sure. He's everywhere in our country. He's a part of our history. We're not just forgetting him. He's being canceled. And it's not the first time they tried to cancel God, but it's been stopped before. Now we're canceling God. And it could be really bad, but it doesn't mean the Lord isn't good.
Yes.
He'll bring goodness
yes.
from it, and maybe we'll see a lot of people saved. Anyway, I'm sorry you're feeling so bad. I'm assuming you're going to be with me to talk.
I coughed a few times, and I forgot to put the mute. I'm thinking in my head a million things. But anyway, well, God is good. It's just cough from allergy because the pollen all over the trees. But hopefully when this time is where the pollen come from the tree will be over, hopefully I'll get better. But God
okay, try some echinacea and golden seal if you don't want to get some medicine.
Absolutely. Send me
an elderberry. Elderberry.
Yes.
I gave them to you
elderberry.
Before. Elderberry, echinacea, golden seal. That will be really helpful for you.
Dr. Christy, you're the best, and I really mean it this time.
It's the herb stuff. That's what I'm into.
I will try it. All right, so what else do we have in our program? Can we do some teaching? What is going on there?
Yes. Well, you know, you have all your things that you've been talking about. What is the, oh my gosh, did I shut you off? No, that scared me. I thought I cut myself off the show, which wouldn't it be
no,
so
I'm
bad?
Okay. I'm still here. I'm still
wait,
here.
Wait. Emiramis says honey, also local honey, and I use that every day.
I know, but I
local
don't even, I know what my neighbor across the street, he have honey. I'm going to go visit him tomorrow and say, hey, I would like to buy some of your honey. Or steal one of your honey boxes down there. So he's going to give me some honey tomorrow.
Get
hopefully.
Some honey. Yes, you need to do that. Okay, Usama, the next thing is you have some teaching you've been doing comparing what do Muslims actually believe, because that is a big problem when...
Yes, ma'am.
When we look at the Quran and we see things that are in the Quran and they try to say, oh, yeah, you know, this is the same God as the Bible and all this. We've been talking about how that.
Absolutely.
Cannot
okay,
be
we sure. were actually in Quran chapter 18. If you remember, Christy, we covered the first portion of it. And I'm going to ask you one more time if you can bless me, open your Quran in your computer, or if you have a paper one, and read for us. We said that this is it's just a weird chapter. Chapter 18 is called the Book of the Cave, and we talked about the we do not know how many. Allah does not know. If Allah does not know, how do you expect me to know, Christy? I'm not Allah. Allah does not know how many people were there. So maybe four or five or six. Only Allah knows, and Allah, the one who wrote the Quran, did not remember to tell us how many there are. But anyway, and they were sleeping there for 309 years. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine that, Christy? What would happen
crazy.
If you sleep for 309 years, Christy? 309 years.
I don't think you'll wake up to actually. I don't think you can
I'm
sleep
telling
that
you.
Long.
But to make the long story short is it was a joke. Now, we talked about parables. There's plenty of parables in the Quran. I don't think Muhammad understands what parable mean actually, because when you read the parables all over the Quran, we're going to do, you know what, Christy, maybe in the future we'll do a study about the parables of the Quran. Just look for the word parable and you'll read and you'll laugh, because there's no parable. There's no story. Anyway,
yeah.
So we finished with the parable about that guy, which we don't know what happened to him. Anyway, but, you know, it's just funny. Let's move on to another portion of that chapter 18 to learn about Adam. And you know what? Let's get it short and easy. Go to verse 50 and read to us verse 50.
And when we said to the angels, worship Adam, so they worshiped, except the devil. He was from the jinn. So he transgressed from the command of his Lord. Will you then take him and his offering as friends rather than me? Are they an enemy to you? This is an evil exchange for the unjust.
Absolutely. Allah knows better and he's telling the truth. Well, wait a minute. If Allah asks the angels to worship Adam and Satan or Iblis or Satan, he is not an angel. He is one of the jinn. Remember here we say he was of the jinn?
Yeah.
Why Allah get upset with the jinn if he did not worship Adam? Because Allah in the same verse, he said he asked the angels, not the angels and the jinn. Of course, some of us here listen to us, what, I mean, what is a jinn? Ah, that's a good question. A jinn is a fairy tale made by Muhammad. No kidding, no, this is very true. Like the whole Quran is fairy tale. That jinn is a fairy tale. Muhammad tells us that the jinn were created 2,000 years before the creation of Adam and Eve, before Christian. But wait a minute, wait a minute. If Allah said he created everything, everything in the world was created in 6 days or 8 days, or according to the hadith, 7 days, missing the heavens, which took 2 days, 9 days. How in the world you can create the jinn 2,000 years before Adam, if the whole thing, everything was created in 6 or 8 or 9 days? That's a joke. Anyway, so the jinn is, if you remember, Aladdin, and he sees a lamb, and he rubs the lamb, and then the genie come out of it. That is a jinn, Krista Johnson. You got it?
That yeah, I'm glad
jinn.
You explained that. It's very 10, funny.
10,000 years! Oh, Robert Williams. He did a great job on that show. Anyway, so that is a jinn, and anyway, so Allah is telling, don't you dare. Notice here, the jinn have descendants, Christy. Can you read the verse again one more time for me?
Which, the whole verse? And,
yeah.
And when we said to the angels, worship Adam, so they worshipped, except the devil, he was from the jinn.
Okay.
So he transgressed from the command of his Lord.
Okay.
Will you take him and his offspring as friends rather than me?
Offspring? Are you trying to tell me that Satan having sex and having babies?
I don't know.
Well, Chrissy, see, you're laughing. I don't like when you laugh at the word of Allah. The word of Allah needs to be treated by respect. How can Satan does Satan have wife and have sex with her and have babies?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Well, Chrissy, here's the problem. When Muslims read the Quran, they didn't even think. They don't ask this question. First of all, he did not do anything wrong because he's not an angel. Allah asked the angels to worship Adam. Now, Satan is not an angel. He's a jinn. He did not transgress. He didn't make any mistake. If I am Satan right now, I say, Allah, excuse me, Allah. What did the first say? When we said to the angels, worship Adam, I'm not an angel. I'm a jinn. And then, and what is this who's having babies? I don't have any babies. Satan do not have sex. They don't have babies. God help us. God help us. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Keep going.
It's pretty crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
I have not made them. Oh, wait a minute. I have not made them witnesses of the creation of the heaven and the earth, nor the creation of themselves. And you were not taking those who led astray for supporters.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. If Allah, when Allah created the heaven and earth, he did not show them. Who is them? He is the angel. Or maybe the jinn. Or maybe all of them. Because Muslim scholars will disagree. Well, did really Allah show Adam how Allah made Adam? Why Allah is going to show the jinn how he created the jinn?
No, it's weird.
You know what's happening, Christy? You know what's happening, Christy? Muhammad is having a good cup of hot camel urine, okay? Not cold one, because there was no refrigerator in Muhammad days. Fresh, hot camel urine. And he got so excited about it when he started making poetry, putting words next to each other. There was no point. What is the point? What is the story? Where is the revelation? If Muslims believe that the Quran is a revelation of Allah, where is the revelation? That's a joke. So far, we're reading nothing but a joke. How about next verse, 52?
And a day he will say, call on my partners whom you claimed. So they called them. So they did not answer them. And we made between them a destruction.
Wait a minute. You think it's funny. He's still laughing, Christy.
It doesn't make any sense.
No. But listen, this. He's talking about the future tense. Okay, read the first.
And a day he will say, call on my partners.
Okay, that is future tense, Christy.
Right.
And what happened after that?
They go to past tense.
Past tense? Does Allah know how to speak Arabic? You know what's amazing, Christy? What's amazing? I read this verse sometime in English and I say, I made a mistake. So I opened the Arabic Quran and wait a minute. I did not make a mistake. When I translated this book, I translated perfectly. I mean, you're talking about 4 years. You are a witness of that, Christy.
I remember these years.
4 years. Yeah. So how can I both present this? You know what I love? Was Brother Lee, God bless his soul, he's in heaven now, or Dr. McNeil, or you, or Brother Rick, or, I mean, a lot of friends helped me, typing for me. I said, Usama, your English is not good. I said, what do you mean? Your grammar is not good. I said, I don't understand. It's future and past. I said, yeah, Allah put in Arabic future and past. Allah made that in Arabic? I said, yeah, trust me. Just leave it alone. Anyway. So that is the beauty of the Quran. Here's the grammar. Future, past. Does this make any sense, Christy?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, go to verse 53. Thank you.
And the criminals saw the fire, so they thought that they would fall into it, and they did not find a place to turn from it.
Wait a minute. Is this the infidels, the criminals who died, or the criminals who are living today? Is this now future or present tense?
I don't know. It's weird.
How about next verse, 54?
Okay, hold on. I did something, and I've got to get back to 54.
That's all. I don't care.
All right, here it is. I have it.
Yeah.
And indeed. Hold on. I just had a little problem. And indeed,
okay.
We have expounded in this Quran to the people from every parable, and the human was the most contentious thing.
Oh, can you tell me now, do you understand the three parables we covered so far in that chapter? What is a parable? I don't think Muhammad have a clue what is a parable is.
You're right. I don't think so either.
Keep going. Keep reading, Christy. We're wasting time.
And nothing prevents people from believing when the guidance comes to them and asking forgiveness from their Lord, except that the customs of the ancients come to them or the torment will come to them face to face.
I do not know how can a people believe in Allah, how can people be guided to Allah, if Allah guided whom he will and he leads astray whom he will. I mean, it does not make any sense. If Allah is the one who makes a decision, who is going to be guided, who is going to be turning in hell forever, how can people be guided? And how can Allah here tell me that the only thing stops the people from being guided is the custom of the ancients? Or if they die or face the death or face the torment immediately. Wait a minute. What about the other option, which is the real option, that they will not be guided except if Allah wants them to be guided? Does this make any sense, Christy?
Well, no, but this is what you find in Islam.
Exactly.
All
over the Quran, Allah said he guides whom he will and he leads the stream whom he will. But here, what forbid or hinder people from believing have nothing to do with Allah. Excuse me. If Allah in the Quran said he guided whom he will and leads the stream whom he will, so we should say, and nothing forbid the people to believe if the guidance came to them, except if Allah chooses yes or no. Anyway,
this said it's the customs of the ancients.
Keep going. Keep going.
And we do not And we do not send messengers except as bearers of good news and warners. And they dispute with those who became infidels with vanity to refute it, to refute with it the truth. And they took my verses and they were warned with as a scoff.
Of course it is dumb. What do you expect me to do? Believe in that? To be the word of Allah? What verses? What are you talking? Are you drunk? You know, if Allah was drunk and so is Muhammad and his angel Jibreel, I said, yes, indeed. And now we have, you know, the Quran is a joke. The verse of the Quran is a comedy. We're reading it right now, Christy. What? How in the world do you expect me to believe in that?
Well,
keep going.
This
next
is why.
Let's keep
all right. And who is more unjust than he who, when he is reminded of the verses of his Lord, so he turns away from them and forgets what his hands have wrought? Surely we made covers on their hearts that they understand it, and a deafness in their ears. And if you call them to guidance, so they will not be guided then forever.
So who is leading people astray now? Allah or somebody else? Allah is speaking.
Allah is telling
people to accept or to believe. His covering their heart, his covering their ears, and if they hear it, you don't understand it. So what is the point? If Allah wanted his people to be delivered, to be saved, to be guided, they would be guided, but that's not his will. From the beginning, Christy, from the beginning, after Allah created Adam, he said, surely I will fill hell with the human and the jinn. From the beginning, before Adam had first baby. So Allah is in charge for the future of the people. You have no choice. You are forced and you have no freedom. You have no choice to believe, to accept, or it's over. Next verse.
And your Lord is the forgiving, the possessor of mercy. If he
No, that's not true. That's not true. If Allah is possessed of mercy, if Allah is forgiven, why these people did not accept? Why these people did not believe? Why these people get to heaven? Or the Muhammad garden?
Which,
doesn't make any sense.
It's stupid for him to say that after what he just said.
Oh, I'm telling you, if you read verses 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, is the opposite.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going. Finish 58.
The rest of the verse. If he tormented them because of what they have earned, he would hasten the torment to them. Yet they haven't appointed.
I need to laugh, but I hate to laugh because it makes me cough. 59, Christian, 59.
And those villages we destroyed when they became unjust. And we made its destruction for an appointed time.
Now, what villages? Can you give me the name of one of these villages?
Well,
what villages is Allah speaking of?
Those villages, you know.
The one which was destroyed. You see? It's like you're missing stories, you're missing chapters, you're missing body of material, you're missing everything in the Quran. Now, we finished, first of all, yeah, go ahead.
It sounds like Joe Biden.
Come on, man. Yes, indeed, I know.
It does.
Now we're going to go to Moses. And Moses, which we believe in the Bible, have nothing to do with that Moses. You see, when Muslims hear verses 50, 60 and down, Moses. And where did he learn about Moses? In Genesis, Exodus. I mean, that's not in Genesis. He wrote Genesis. But in Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. It's the first five books written by Moses. And since Moses is in the Bible, and since Moses is in the Quran, that means Muhammad is a prophet. Because how does Muhammad know or wrote about Moses unless he's a true prophet? Now, let us learn about Moses, ladies and gentlemen. Let's open the Quran and read one of the many repeated information about Moses. When you put them all together, you come to the conclusion that you don't know who is this Moses. And you have no clue where Muhammad come up with this story. Okay? That's one of the many fabricated, made-up story about Moses. Okay? Go for it, Christy.
And when Moses said to his young man, I will not stop until I reach the confluence of the two seas, or I will be traveling for years.
Does this talk like Moses? Does this a man with logic or common sense? Who is this young man he's talking to?
I have no clue.
Moses have a young man? Is it like his cousin, his buddy, his friend, another prophet? Who's the young man? And why
does
Moses keep walking? What if these two seas never met for another 100 years? He will walk for 100 years?
That's what it sounds like. He's going to keep on going.
Okay. 61, Chris.
So when they reached their confluence, they forgot their whale.
What whale?
So
you know what the word the word hoot, Christy. Hoot is a whale. He actually meant a fish, but Muhammad did not know the word fish in Arabic is samaka, not hoot. Hoot is a whale. You know what's amazing when you read the interpretation? You know that, Christy, from my book.
I know.
When you read the story of Moses, he literally that fish or big whale, it's a whale, okay, hoot is a whale, was already cooked, but they forgot it. That's the lunch. They're going to eat it, him and his young man, which we don't know who is he. Okay, keep going. Okay.
So it got its way into the sea going away.
Wait a minute. The fish was already cooked, or the whale was already cooked. Somehow, miraculously, it became alive and flew, literally, swim in the water?
Some of these stories are so crazy, Usama.
Wait, we haven't even got into the real crazy story is Alexander the Great. We're going to get to it, not tonight, obviously, but keep going. What happened after that?
So when they had gone farther, he said to his young man, bring our lunch to us. Indeed, we have incurred weariness from this traveling.
Yeah, we've been traveling for a long time. Bring the lunch, man. It's lunchtime. Time off. We're going to eat lunch. Okay, so what happened?
He said, did you see when we took refuge in the rock? So surely I have forgotten the whale. No one causes me to forget to mention it except Satan. And it has taken its way in the sea wondrously.
How do you know that, young man, this is what happened? Maybe some people found the whale and they ate him because they were hungry. I mean, how did he know that it was not Allah who caused him to forget about the whale, not Satan? How do you know that? Every time we forget it is Satan, maybe Allah does not want them to remember.
This is weird, as a lot of things
going.
Are. He said,
yeah.
It is this we were seeking. So they went back, retracing their footsteps.
Oh, yeah, the footstep on the beach. Go back until they find the well, because they need to eat. Well, how many miles they went backwards, Christy? How many days they were traveling, walking backwards to find the well so they can eat?
Away. I don't know how they're going to find it. But anyway.
Only Allah knows. Yes, keep going.
Then they found a servant from our servant whom we had given mercy from us and whom we had instructed with our knowledge.
Who is the servant? What's his name? Why did he find him there? I mean, You know what's amazing? That is the prophet, the green prophet. That is the prophet Green. We're going to learn a lot from him. But what is the story so far? Is this the Moses of the Bible, Christy? Have you ever read that anywhere in Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, anywhere?
No, not ever anywhere.
Okay, so now they found one of Allah's servants who was given so much mercy and so much knowledge, and Moses is going to talk to him. So what did Moses say?
And Moses said to him, "Will I follow you so that you will teach me guidance from what you have been taught?"
Oh, Moses is going to learn from that wise servant of the Lord, of Allah. Now, who is smarter, the servant or Moses?
Well,
So obviously the servant is much smarter than Moses because he's going to teach Moses.
I know.
Okay.
This sounds
ridiculous. Why would he not know the servant's name? I know they call him the Green, the Prophet the Green. Okay. Why Allah did not put his name? And if he is really wiser than Moses, why he's not greater than Moses, the prophet? Because we know there's only five good prophets, smart prophets. Okay? Moses, Jesus, Abraham, Adam, and Muhammad. Why would it not see the name of the servant? That's the man of Allah here,
the wise prophet here. That's going to teach Moses.
What? But if he's going to teach Moses, that means he's smarter than Moses. He should be on the list of the most important prophets, but he's not there.
Yeah.
Keep going, Chris. Next verse.
He said, "Surely you cannot have patience with me."
How does he know? Only Allah knows the future. I mean, that servant wouldn't know anything about it. But Moses, no. You don't have patience to learn anything from me. You're stupid, Moses. I am greater and you're not. Okay, keep going. What's the next?
And how can you be patient in that you do not have knowledge of?
Well, how do you know if he's going to be patient or not? I mean, you see the guy is talking to himself. He's going in a circle. He says, you're not going to be patient. And how can you be patient if you don't know what's going to happen? Hello, Christy. Are you still with me? I lost you, Christy.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you didn't lose me, but he lost himself. He said...
He lost himself. So, Christy, this is the word of Allah. This is the Quran. This is the revelation of Allah to Muhammad. Now we'll learn about Moses and that prophet and the wisdom of that. It's like literally somebody uneducated is writing a story. Is that right, Christy? Do you think that sounds like somebody knows what's going on? Of course. Okay. Now, next verse.
He said, "You will find me patient if Allah wills, and I will not disobey your command."
Well, did Allah will it or not? We see, Christy, in Islam, everything you go through, if it's a word, if it's a cough. Now I cough four times. You know why? Because Allah wants me to cough four times. It is written before I was born that I'm going to cough four times. And when I'm closing my eyes right now, I'm going to open my eyes. When I sit on my hand, and when I lift up my right hand and go in circle, and I lift up my left hand and I start standing up, I'm going to sit down in the chair. No, I'm going to stand up again. I'm going to sit. All these things I'm saying and all the things I'm doing, it is Allah meant it. So Moses have no option to be patient or not. Moses have no option to learn or not, because everything about Moses, like everything about Christy, like everything about Usama, it is already ordained by Allah. If it's a cough, if it's a laugh, if it's a cry, if it's a choke, when you die, everything about you is already ordained. So how can that prophet is telling Moses about he's not going to be patient because he does not know what he's going to be patient about? And now Moses is telling, if Allah will, well, Allah does not will it. Or maybe Allah will it. Keep going.
He said, "So if you follow me, so do not ask me about anything until I mention to you something about it."
You need to shut up, walk with me quiet, don't ask me any question until later I'll tell you, okay? Say okay, Christy, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So they went on until they embarked in a safina.
Safina is a ship, not Arabic word.
And they made a hole in it.
Wait a minute. He cut a hole in the bottom of the ship in the water?
He said, have you made a hole in it so that you may drown its people? Indeed.
That's Moses.
Moses is talking.
Christy, when you drill a hole in a boat, what's going to happen? Where's the water going to go?
It's going to sink the ship.
Sure. Okay.
Indeed, you have done an idiotic thing.
It is stupid. Of course it's stupid. But he said, now here is the servant of Allah.
Servant. Did I not tell you that you surely would not have patience with me?
Sure. You are not smart, Moses. You need to calm down, take it easy. I told you, shut up, walk with me quietly, and I will tell you later. But here he is. He's interrupting him. He's asking a question, and he did not have patience. He's not calm. Go ahead, Christy.
He said, pardon me for my forgetfulness and do not overburden me of my difficult affair.
Really? Did Moses say that? What book in the Bible did Moses say that? Where do we learn about that story anywhere in the Bible, Christy? Any place at all?
No, I'm sorry. Nowhere.
Fairy tale of Muhammad. Yes, ma'am.
So,
keep going.
So they went on until they met a young man. So he killed him.
Wait a minute. That young man was killed for no reason, isn't it? Listen to what Moses said.
So he said, have you killed a pure soul without a soul?
Indeed, man, oh man.
You have done a horrible thing.
Notice here, Moses said it's a pure soul. Pure soul, ghulaman zakiyan, or nafsan zakiyan, Nafsan zakiyan is like innocent, is like pure, is like holy, is like righteous. Without a soul means that boy did not commit murder, because in Islamic law, the blood of the Muslim cannot be killed except in three cases: murder, adultery, or leave Islam. So did this young man commit murder? No. Did this young man commit adultery? No. Did this young man live the holy life, the religion of the faith of Islam? No. So why did this ideology, whatever you want to call it, sick nuts case here, the guy, the prophet of Allah, killed that one? And Moses have the right to question it. What are you doing? Why did he kill this boy? First, he drilled a hole in the ship and drowned it. Second, he killed an innocent, righteous, zakiy, good boy. Okay, keep going.
He said, did I not tell you that surely you would not have patience with me?
What does this have to do with patience? You kill an innocent soul, a pure soul. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I should not ask the question. I'll be like Moses. Shut up and listen to the rest of the story. Go ahead.
He said, if I ask you about anything after this, so do not accompany me. Indeed, you have received an excuse from me.
I promise you, I'm not going to ask again. This is the last time I ask a question. Well, go ahead. Keep going, Christy, because he's going to ask another question. Go ahead.
So they went on until they came to the people of a village. They asked
what
these
village?
People for...
Whoa. What village? What people?
I don't know.
Allah knows. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They asked these people for food, but they refused to host them. So they found in it a wall that was about to fall. So he set it upright. He said,
okay, just a minute. The wall was about to fall down. and he fixed the wall. He fixed the wall after the people did not welcome him, did not offer him food or anything. Okay, so the wall is fixed now. The wall is standing up. Okay, so go ahead.
He said, I think this is Moses again, if you had willed, you might have obtained a wage for this. He said.
He fixed the wall for free? I thought he'd be coming. No. Okay, now the wise man said what?
He said, this is the parting between you and me.
That's it. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm tired of it. One question, I told you from the beginning, you're not going to be patient because you do not even know what you're going to be patient about. Okay, that's it. Our relationship is over. Our friendship is over. You're stupid, Moses. You're not going to listen to me. I'm done. I'm done with you. But you know what? Let me do you a favor now. I'm going to tell you a secret. Go ahead, Christy. Go ahead.
But I will first tell you the interpretation of that with which you could not be patient.
Interpretation. Oh, the wise servant of Allah is going to teach Moses, the prophet of Allah, something about why he did what he did. Okay, go ahead.
As to the ship, so it was owned by poor men who worked on the sea, and I was minded to damage it, for in their rear was a king who seized every ship by force.
Oh, what a wise man. Let's drill a hole in the ship. The ship will sink under the water, and it will not be stolen. Why can't you just a guy take the ship and put it somewhere else? I mean, the owner of the ship is poor. Most likely, it's not a 50-foot or 100-foot ship, okay? Most likely, it's a small ship, okay, because they're poor. Now, why he damaged it so the people will not steal it, you know, and take it over like a spoil of war.
Let me destroy
why not
it so they
why not?
Can't steal it.
You know what, Christy? I'm going to burn your house before – I'm going to burn your house to the ground before the thief come and steal your television in your living room. How do you like that, Christy?
See how great idea. You're all right.
Hey, he said we have to sacrifice the mother for the and the baby – to make sure that everything is fine. What is sick is that? Okay, keep going. Okay.
And as to the young man, so his parents were believers, so we feared lest he should trouble them by rebellion and infidelity.
Wait a minute. He killed a righteous boy, Nafsan Zakiya, a righteous soul. Because maybe, Christy, maybe when he grew up, he's going to make his mom and dad not a believer if he became not a believer. For heaven's sake, if that's the case, all the people of the world should be killed. Every baby is born should be killed. Because all have sinned. And what is the wisdom? Why Allah allowed that wise man to kill an innocent soul, a righteous soul, a holy soul? A little boy, because maybe if he grew up, you know what, Christy, I wrote about that in my new book. Remember the movie Tom Hanks? No, not Tom Hanks. The guy who does a lot of movies. I can't remember his name. Anyway, this movie was about, seriously, I don't have my book on me, and I took medicine and make me a little bit weird. But anyway. Remember this movie, I'm going to tell you the movie. He will find out about the crime before it happened. Tom Cruise. And he will go and arrest the people before they commit
right.
the crime.
Before
remember
they commit
movie?
The crime, right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the
That's
name
exactly,
of it, but I know what you're talking
that
about.
That is exactly where the maker of this movie come up with the idea. That good, holy, righteous guy killed the boy before he commits the crime, because if he grew up, he maybe caused his parents to become not very godly parents. Oh, my world. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me.
Oh, my
next.
Gosh.
Next.
Okay.
Next. Last one.
All right.
The one.
So, 82. Oh, I thought we got to read 81. We didn't read that.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we desired that their Lord might exchange in his place better than he was in virtue and closer in mercy.
But he was holy, Chrissy.
I know.
He was like,
he's going to get better.
Better than that. He's going to give his mom and dad an angel. And if that's the case, for heaven's sake, why Allah does not treat the rest of the people like that? Every time a parent have a children and the children are going to grow up to be not a good, Allah will kill the babies. Why not we have this for all the evil Democrats who are killing babies, all those who are allowing immorality all over America? Why Allah did not kill all the Democrats when they were innocent babies? We will have a conservative, strong country today in America.
I don't know. All right.
It's just a question, Chris. It's just a question. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And as to the wall, so it was owned by two young men, orphaned in the city, and under it was a treasure to them, and their father was a righteous man. So your Lord desired that they should reach the age of strength and take forth their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. And I did not do it of my own affair. This is the interpretation of that which you could not have patience.
So there was
Ta-da.
A treasure under the Chrissy. There's a treasure under the wall. They fix the wall. So these two young men, when they grow up later, who are poor, they will find the treasure. Why don't you just tell them where the treasure is?
I don't know.
You know how we can end?
It's
you know
stupid.
How can we end that chapter of the Quran? It goes like this, Chrissy. You know, have you ever seen VeggieTales, the cartoon?
Yes,
which
of
is
course.
The tomato
yes.
and the cucumber and the zucchini
yes.
and the asparagus. They have a song there. The song goes, VeggieTales, 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 VeggieTales. You know the song, okay?
I do. Yes, I do.
When I read the Quran, I remember that song, and I go like this, VeggieTales, VeggieTales. Fairy tales, fairy tales. It's fairy tales, Chrissy. It's no more or less. Allah and Muhammad and the Quran and Jibreel, all of them are not. There's no sins. That's not the Moses of the Bible. My dear Muslim friends, if there's a Muslim listening to me right now, this have nothing to do with the Moses of the Bible. The information is not there, and you have to go to your scholars who are guessing the unknown, and they are making interpretation for who is this young man, the young man of Moses. Oh, that was Joshua. Really? How do you know it's Joshua? Because we know we're smart. And who is this prophet, the one who did all this? Oh, that's the prophet, the green. You know why they call him the green, Christy?
No, why do they call him the green?
Well, everywhere he goes, it turned green. Like if you go to pray in the earth and it's a desert, turn to green. They call the prophet the green. I'm not kidding you. First of all, that story did not happen. That's not the Moses of the Bible. That's not the Joshua of the Bible. That guy who is teaching Moses did never exist. The whole thing is, Christy, is a fairy tale. If you understand what the word fairy tale is, we'll come to the reality of the revelation of the Quran. And I hope and I pray. Between here and next week, because next week we're going to talk about Alexander the Great. And I know some people will tell me, no, that's not Alexander the Great. No, it is Alexander the Great. I'm going to tell you why. Because we know that the true story about why this is written in the Quran. Muhammad was copying and pasting, heard stories, made it up, fabricated, literally turn it around, make it square, make it whatever. And he gave us this beautiful Quran. The word of Allah, which by it, people believe that Muslims are in real religion, real belief. Because, hey, talk about Moses. I mean, who does not believe in Moses? The Christian believe in Moses. The Jewish people believe in Moses. And Muslims believe in Moses. But wait. The Moses of the Quran have nothing to do with the Moses of the Bible. Muhammad just picked up a name. His name is Moses. And he made up a fairy tale story. Hopefully, you can add a few more pages to this Quran. End of story.
I tell you.
End of story.
It's really crazy, and people don't understand that. They really need to read your book, Revealing the Truth
Exposing the Truth About the Quran.
Volume yes, 1 and 2. You'll see, it is so funny. When I was reading this and helping you with it when you were working on it, I was laughing so hard, I couldn't believe it. It's so crazy. It's so crazy. I thought you were... Anyway, it's crazy.
Joking. You thought I was joking.
Yeah,
I'm not
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
I told you the truth, and it is the reality. Anyway, Christy, our time is up. And you know what? I'm glad I didn't cough in the last half hour because I'm coughing all day long. I'm getting sick and tired of coughing. But thank you so much, Christy, for your hard work and producing that show. And next week, Lord is willing, we're going to get the last portion of that to talk about the revelation of the Quran. It is not a revelation. It is a comedy. It's a fairy tale. It's a joke. Good night, folks. God bless you. And God bless America. Look forward for God's grace for between here and next Saturday. Perhaps something positive will happen in this country. So far, negative and negative and negative. I don't know when we're going to have anything positive. Maybe Mr. Biden will fix the wall and finish the wall so he can do so. Or maybe he will take some of the steel wall which Mr. Trump put down to make it easy for people so they don't go around circles or drop children from the top of the wall. Anyway, God bless you all. Good night, Christy. And tomorrow will be a beautiful day, new day, Sunday, worship and pray. Hopefully, things will turn around. I really hope for that between here and next week. So far, it's 3 months of miserable news. Nothing positive, negative. Anyway, time is up, Christy. God bless you. Appreciate you. And we'll talk again next time, Saturday, Lord's willing.
All right. God bless you, everybody. Thank you, Usama. You have a wonderful day and a good night tonight.
Good night, Christy. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.